Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. Thanks for asking. You just got back from seeing Black Panther, and I can tell you this, Marvel definitely planned the release of their biggest movie yet to the weekend in which there were no Premier League fixtures, and I have to applaud their marketing department here very first smart. On the Always Cheating podcast. Very smart.
It was very smart, yeah.
I don't know if anyone would have seen Black Panther this weekend had there actually been Premier League fixtures.
In the United States, they wouldn't have seen it between 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., Brandon. I'll tell you that much. I know. It was so hard to see in New York that I actually, like, everything was sold out. So I sat with my wife today at an 11:30 a.m. showing, which was actually fine. You know, like 11:30, it's fine. I like an early movie. Once the lights are down, you know, like you're just into it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Is that enough banter?
Yeah, that's plenty.
Quality. So we did have a blank this week. I felt like I was a little checked out on football the last few days. The FA Cup matches didn't really get me going. I know Spurs had an exciting one yesterday, but part of it was like, I just knew it was going to have all these, like, these FPL implications. And I was just like, all right, let's just get these matches done with, you know, like, let's just get them over with so that we can focus on, you know, what actually matters, which is game week 28 and game week 31.
It said the one person who really deserves a break is our injury guru, Ben Dinnery. But these are the most important time periods for Ben because we're only paying attention to the FA Cup for fear that our FPL assets might get injured, or God forbid they play 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't hate the FA Cup, but I don't really get excited about it until they get to Wembley for the semifinals. You know, those are the ones that I feel like start to get pretty exciting. And
the other side of that argument is the more interesting matches are early on when you get the lower league or even non-league teams involved.
It's true, but it always comes after the holiday fixtures, you know, where there's so much football. So I feel like the FA Cup, I'm just like, you know, I need a break, especially like if you take FPL as intense as we do and most people listening to this podcast do, it's like the FA Cup is just, it's just like, it's like one thing I can't handle. You know, I'm also a college basketball fan, so I'm just like, it's a lot of sports this time of year for me.
Well, speaking of the FA Cup, we're recording while the Wigan-Man City match is playing. I think they're in the 35th minute right now.
Right.
So as the goals unfold, Josh, so far there have been none. We'll let you guys know.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it doesn't matter anyway, because Brighton won their fixture. So the Man City Brighton match is officially postponed. So, just as a refresher, you know, game week 31, it's coming up in, I guess, about a month's time. We're going into game week 28 this weekend. And there are five confirmed matches that are not being played, right? So Burnley-Chelsea, Leicester-Arsenal, Man City-Brighton, Swansea-Southampton, and West Ham-Man United, all officially not playing. And assuming that Spurs beat Rochdale in their replay, which is at Wembley, so I think we can be pretty confident they'll win that match. Spurs-Newcastle won't be played either. So we're only looking at four matches for game week 31.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly because the key teams that are playing are some of the worst in the league, like Huddersfield, West Brom,
right?
Stoke, Liverpool. We're going to talk a lot about how to still plan moving forward for game week 31 later in the podcast, but this is just going to be ever present in our minds as we talk for the next hour.
Exactly. So we wanted to just get it out of the way right at the front. So just as a heads up, the four matches that are being played are Huddersfield, Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, West Brom, Liverpool, Watford, and Stoke, Everton. So I don't know, like one of those is a good match. So
sure. Liverpool at home to Anfield, hosting Watford. Right.
Stoke, Everton could be kind of fun too.
Sure, I mean that will be a fun match. I'm just talking about FPL implications. We're all going to be troubled up on Liverpool heading into game week 31.
Totally, exactly. You kind of have to be, and honestly, you kind of want to be anyway because Liverpool's fixtures in the lead up to game week 31 are quite good as well. They play West Ham in game week 28, Newcastle in game week 29. Those are both at home. They do play away to Man United in game week 30. But then they're home to Watford in game week 31. And then even after that, they play Crystal Palace in 32. So there's really no reason not to recommend, even if there wasn't this blank coming up in game week 31, and they're one of the few teams of the match, you'd want to recommend Liverpool players anyway. So I think the earlier the better with those guys. You know, I think you can just go ahead and start bringing them in.
Just go ahead. Go ahead and do it.
Just go ahead and do it. All right.
So we have a whole huge, massive Game Week 31 lightning round section coming up filled with listener questions. Before we do that, though, we have to talk about Game Week 28.
Right.
Because that's our next priority.
Yeah.
Do we have any announcements, Joshua, before we get to our Game Week 28 preview?
Yes. Just a quick announcement. Our Ask Us Anything, that's a Patreon exclusive podcast, is coming up this week. And we have thank you, everybody, for the questions. So we are that should be out probably tomorrow night. I think people will be able to listen to that, possibly Wednesday. So it's if you still want to become a Patreon supporter, just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating and join. So and thank you to everyone who's Patreon support already.
I'm very much looking forward to exposing my soul to all our Patreon subscribers.
We have some really solid questions. I am genuinely pretty excited about this podcast.
If you want to know how many moles I have, you're going to want to sign up on our Patreon page.
Exactly. And Topias Tokenin, who was a new pledger this week, thank you, Topias, for supporting the podcast.
All right. So going back to Game Week 28, Josh, I think what we want to do here before we get to some questions featuring Game Week 28 fixtures. Right. We're just going to go day by day, Saturday, Sunday, and then the marquee Arsenal City fixture on Thursday into March already. I cannot believe this.
Yeah. I'm sick of winter, so that's fantastic. I'm so excited for March. So Saturday we've got seven fixtures. I don't think we need to go through all of these, but just as a quick, you know, kind of heads up. We've got Leicester Stoke is the early match. A bunch of pretty mediocre mid-afternoon matches, wouldn't you say? I mean, Bournemouth-Newcastle, Brighton-Swansea, Burnley-Southampton. Yeah. I guess Liverpool-West Ham is an exciting fixture for you know, fantasy purposes. West Brom-Huddersfield.
Well, there are some six-pointers, I'll grant you that. West Brom-Huddersfield could be interesting just by that fact. Burnley-Southampton seems to be the big stinker here because both these, well, Southampton is still manages to stay in relegation trouble. Hot water, though. I just can't see a world in which they get relegated. Can you?
I still can't. They have been playing bad. James Ward-Prowse is going to single-handedly keep them up, Brandon. So I have a lot of faith in Prowsey.
So we had a few questions about Leicester, actually, that stem from all the strategizing for the blanks in Game Week 31. M. Bison asks, what is the opportunity cost of avoiding great players with great fixtures like Mahrez because they blank in 31? Some people like Joseph Allegretti also name-check Christian Eriksen here as an up-and-coming. He plays Crystal Palace away on Sunday. So where do you stand now, Josh, on bringing in players into Game Week 28 or even 29 who are blanking? We've talked about this a little bit last night.
Right.
We were out having a drink and talking about how many players we wanted to field in the blank in 31. Like, do we want to max? Are we looking at 8 or 9 players? And then how many transfers do we have between now and then? So you've got 4 free transfers. My question is, do you want to waste one of those 4 on a guy like Mahrez who's blanking?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how many players you have, right? It also depends on whether, I mean, I don't think we should dismiss the idea of the free hit ship for Game Week 31. The reason I am not as excited about the free hit ship is I don't know that you can get enough points out of the matches that are being played to justify the free hit ship, right? Like, even if you loaded up on Huddersfield players, right, or Crystal Palace players, or I don't even, you know, like there's just not enough players who have like explosive fixtures in Game Week 31 that would justify, you know, wasting this precious chip, you know, like this chip that in theory could be used in a double game week or it could be used in Game Week 35 where there are better teams that have matches. I mean, just loading up for 1 week by extension, you could argue that it's not worth having more than maybe 8 players total for Game Week 31, right? And so if you already have 5 players who you expect to play in Game Week 31, you know, 5 players who don't have blanks, maybe 3 of your next 4 transfers should be used on bringing in new players, and then you can burn one on someone like Mahrez. I mean, What's tricky is there are a few players that are kind of undroppable, I think, right, who are just not going to get transferred out. So I think those players are, for most of us, it's Salah, Kane, and Sterling, right?
Yeah.
I guess De Gea, too, right? I mean,
for if you people. Have De Gea, yeah, I think, I mean, there are some question marks around Manchester United right now, but come the double game weeks, you're going to love having David De Gea in goal for you, because that
you could certainly probably, I think you could argue for dropping De Gea. You know, who would you drop him for? I guess I'm looking at the fixtures for 31. Maybe Lossell, the Huddersfield keeper.
I would go Karius in this. I think we'll get to some Liverpool questions later on, but I think a lot of people are talking about if you're not tripling up on Liverpool attack, there's room for a Liverpool defender. And is it Karius or is it Virgil van Dijk?
Right.
I mean, and maybe Robertson. So I like Karius maybe as a replacement for De Gea.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Or maybe if you're looking at, if you have enough money to do a second keeper, maybe Lossell, I think, makes some sense because his fixtures in the lead up and afterwards are pretty good too. So they play Swansea, Palace, Newcastle, Brighton, and Watford from game weeks 30 to 34. So definitely some decent opportunities there. And we, you know, even I think he saved a couple penalties already this season too. And you know he's going to pick up some save points. So not a bad option there.
All right, so back to game week 28, early kickoff. It's Leicester.
Right.
Mahrez, specifically. He is just coming back from this whole transfer window saga. He played 28 minutes in game week 27.
Right.
I'm cautious with Mahrez. He was in great form until all this stuff happened with Manchester City.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to bring, and maybe this is too cautious, but I wouldn't even think of bringing Mahrez in until I see him in the starting 11 and put in a good shift, at least one good shift for Leicester.
Neither would I. I wouldn't consider it at all. He didn't play for a couple of weeks. I'm sure his teammates are mad at him. He missed out on a couple of fixtures. It might cost them a chance for a Europa League spot next year. I have no interest in Mahrez. I mean, Vardy is definitely of interest. And, I guess.
Yeah, he scored four goals in the last four fixtures.
Yeah, and he scored in the FA Cup, too. I think.
Five and five. Yeah.
And they play Stoke, Bournemouth, West Brom. Their fixtures actually after game week 31 are quite good as well. But let's say you already had four or five players that you're planning to play. Let's say like you could easily field eight players for game week 31, or you're going to play the free hit chip. I think that Vardy is a great pickup option there. Or you could just bring him in for 3 weeks and then transfer him to Firmino before game week 31, which I think would also work.
Yeah, interesting. So we're pro Vardy on this podcast.
Very much. I love Vardy. Do you not? Are you not a Vardy fan? Are you?
It's complicated with Vardy. Mm-hmm, I mean, we've had some great times. Mm-hmm, we've had some great times, me and Jamie Vardy. But on the whole, would I want to hang out with Jamie Vardy? Probably not.
Okay.
Speaking of strikers, one of the mid afternoon kickoffs, Bournemouth, Newcastle. A lot of people, such as yourself, Joshua, hanging on to Callum Wilson. Will he redeem himself here? Also, side note, Callum Wilson's value just skyrocketed when Bournemouth locked in their fixture for 31.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he's, I think for a lot of us, it'll be Firmino, Wilson, and then Kane on the bench.
Kane on the bench.
31. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's funny. I mean, like, it does feel like Gaming 31 is just casting this huge shadow over all of our thinking right now. Like, maybe possibly too much. I think there is a real danger in loading up. Ken Rooney had a question for us on Twitter about, loading up too much on these players who then you're just kind of stuck with, And so for someone like me, who has already played my wild card, I am particularly wary of this, right? I do not want to have a team that's loaded up on Huddersfield players and Stoke players because I just don't have the chance to like easily unload them afterwards, heading into all the double game weeks. So, I think it's really tricky. And I think if you actually played an early wild card, there is an argument for just playing the free hit chip in game week 31. And then your strategy can just be built around you know, looking at people like Aubameyang and even some of the Leicester players, right? And just not worry about, you know, sort of getting players you don't want as much in order to, you know, have them for this upcoming blank or this game week that has a lot of blanks in it.
Okay, what is your prediction for Brighton-Swansea? And the reason I ask is because this is an interesting fixture for defensive assets in that we're all, I feel like a lot of managers are in the process of transferring their Brighton defenders into Swansea defenders.
Yeah, yeah. I brought in Fernandez last week. I think Swansea probably, well, I don't know. Brighton have been, like, decent at the Amex. I guess I could see this. I don't know. It feels like a 0-0 or a 1-1 to me. Like, I don't really see the team having much of an edge. I mean, Swansea have played a lot better of late, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won. But, you know, I feel like Brighton is, like, really, like, their strategy right now is to kind of just, you know, win the home fixtures and not concede too many goals in the away fixtures.
I mean, what's insane is Swansea have another draw in the FA Cup. They have yet another match that they probably don't want to be playing.
Right.
I mean, go for that FA Cup gold, Swansea. I'm all about it.
Right.
But they've got a lot on their shoulders at the moment, like trying to survive the Premier League, playing this FA Cup replay.
Yeah.
And they're on the road this weekend.
It's interesting. Brighton Swansea is kind of in that same, like, Burnley, Southampton, and West Brom, Huddersfield. Like, all three of those fixtures are, and Game Week 28 are all fixtures that, like, could go either way. Like, really hard to predict. Like, if you have your defenders, you've got a feel to them in those games, but you're not really, like, that excited about it because you could see them conceding goals. It's just like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like it's going to be like a bunch of 2-1s, you know, and it could like go one way or the other or you know, 1-1s, stuff like that. I don't know. I don't see like a ton of clean sheets this weekend. So, I guess the one fixture that really is appealing on Saturday is Liverpool-West Ham. I guess Watford-Everton is kind of interesting, too. I mean, you brought in Theo Walcott last week. I mean, how are you feeling about Walcott right now?
I feel good about Walcott. He didn't get any points in 27, but he looked very positive. A lot of the ball was moving through him.
Mm-hmm.
He was working rather hard in that game. He was coming back a little deeper to get the ball.
Yep.
And a lot of these chances were falling to our good friend Omar Nias.
Yeah.
But I like this fixture for Theo because I think Allardyce is going to lean on Theo. He'll obviously definitely play. And Watford's defense is terrible. So this is yet another fixture why everyone jumped on Theo Walcott when they did.
And Cuckoo assists King Martina. I expect him to do well in this match. I think Leighton Baines has not joined the team yet in training. He's training by himself still, and he's hoping to rejoin the team soon. So Martina is going to have to go at some point. I'm still holding on for now, but if you had an Everton defender, would you play them in this Watford game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the interesting thing about Watford all season has been their attack. So there is a good likelihood that Watford will score against Everton.
So you would not play them.
I'm like kind of undermining my point. But it is still Watford. Watford is not a great team.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's
you did directly undermine your point though in a way that gives me pause.
I'm trying to generate a really fruitful conversation here on the podcast, a conversation among one person. But let me put it this way: who else are you going to play? There have been no clean sheets to have. We have so many questions coming up about like what do we do with Alonso and Otamendi and all the guys like this.
Yeah.
This will be a great fixture even if you don't come away with a clean sheet. I don't see what better options you have.
Cuz I've got the assist king. Burnley I would expect to keep a clean sheet at home to Southampton. Liverpool West Ham I don't know why I can't trust Liverpool's defense. I mean, I know that I will ultimately end up bringing in one of their defenders, and I may even do it this week. I mean, I think all of us are kind of wary of Alonso. I mean, we'll see if he starts in the Champions League. It sounds like he's going to. If he does, you'd think he'd play in the Man United Spurs game, Man United Chelsea game. But do you even want him for that game? I don't even know anymore. Like, I cannot believe how comprehensively I broke Alonso. It's really like he was doing so well.
No, you totally did. So we have a few questions to that fact. Adam P. on our Slack channel, available just to our Patreon subscribers, says, I think we could do with a discussion about premium defenders. Everyone seems to be ditching Chelsea assets, Alonso among them, and Manchester United. We can lump them in if we're talking about their fixture against Chelsea on Sunday. And then Jeff Petter jumped in on the Slack channel saying, yeah, I'm with Adam. Is the investment at the back now over? Jones is still fairly cheap, but is now the time to shift Otamendi and Alonso to get money into your midfield or attack?
Probably. Yeah, I think so. Chelsea, I mean, Chelsea are about to play Man United, Man City back-to-back fixtures, and they have a blank in game week 31. I mean, they do play Crystal Palace at home in game week 30, but, you know, game week 32, they play Spurs. So, I mean, you know, basically you don't have you have one good fixture in five, right, for them. So it doesn't augur well for holding on to a 7.3 million player who, I mean, you know, he's always capable of scoring goals, but I don't see a lot of clean sheets in these matches. I mean, they haven't been keeping a lot of clean sheets anyway. You know, so I think,
Alonso's really only, his claim to fame has been goals this season.
Right.
I mean, last season it was clean sheets plus goals.
Yeah. Peter Oleski had the question about Vertonghen or Toby. I know Toby did play in the FA Cup match. I feel a little nervous about bringing Toby back, right? I feel like he's going to be managed a little carefully. I feel like Jan Vertonghen is the one player you can kind of trust in that squad. And, you know, Danny Rose is back now, too. So Ben Davis I'm a little wary of bringing him in as well. I mean, it feels like Vertonghen is like the one person you can trust in that defense.
Yeah, Pochettino has never been shy about rotating any of these guys. And, yeah, the long-term injury for Toby is, it's worrying. The price difference here, I think, is what people would flag. Vertonghen is at 6.0 and Toby is at 5.8.
Right.
Are you really at the point where you need... I mean, I understand that 0.1 is sometimes worth everything to a team at this point in the season, but I wouldn't be willing to risk 0.2 to bring in a guy who hasn't even played in the league since really early in this season.
Yeah.
Well, since game week 10. I would rather go with Vertonghen here.
Yeah, I would too. I also don't feel like I have a ton of...
And it's not like you know... it's not like you don't get any attacking threat with Vertonghen. He does... He's got a marauding sort of nature. He's not as threatening on corner kicks as Toby is. But I don't think...
He's become more attacking this year than he was the last couple of seasons, I'd say. Yeah, I'm with you. I would definitely pay the extra point too for Vertonghen just to be safe. And, you know, I mean, Toby's goal threat is a little overrated anyway. I mean, you know, his first year in the league in 15-16, he was awesome. He had 4 goals and 3 assists. But, you know, last year he only had 1 goal had no goals or assists in the, you know, the first, I guess, 10 fixtures that he played this season before he got injured. So, yeah, I would definitely opt for the stability of Vertonghen. And, the fixtures are so good for Spurs. I mean, I guess, you know, yeah, they don't play in game week 31, but they play Palace, Huddersfield, and Bournemouth in their next three. And there's a reasonable chance they keep a clean sheet in, what, two of those three? Possibly all three?
Yeah. Last defensive question before we get to talking about strikers here for game week 28. FPL Owlbear asks, who to replace Dunker Duffy with after this game week? So I'm in the same boat as Mr. Owlbear here in that I've had Shane Duffy for an extended period of time with no joy whatsoever. And this home fixture to Swansea has got to be his swan song. What do I do with him after? And I think your man Cucu Martina at 4.3 is a great way to go. No blank for him in 31 or 35.
I'd be a little nervous about Martina, though. Just with Leighton Baines eventually coming back, you might have to... That might end up being a wasted transfer. What about Zanka? What do you think about him? He's 4.5 million, and Huddersfield. So they play Spurs away in game week 29. So you couldn't play him in that. But then it's Swansea and Palace at home, including the fixture in game week 31. Newcastle, Brighton, and Watford in the three after that. So those are not bad fixtures. Swansea and Palace in particular. They have kept some clean sheets at home this season. I mean, it's hard to recommend a Huddersfield defender because that team is really kind of on the way down. But you know, you need players for Game Week 31, and I don't know. I think that might be worth a shot, at least. I mean, you know, just to kind of, you know, he has two assists on the season, and maybe you look for someone with, like, a little bit of a goal or assist threat.
Yeah, well, I took a punt on Higazi a couple weeks ago, and it's still been a steady decline for West Brom since then, and I kind of thought West Brom was going to pull it together here heading into the home stretch, so I'm a little shakier on my faith in West Brom's clean sheets. But that said, the only goals that West Brom tend to score are from their defenders on set pieces. So I think that's another place
to look. I think it's a great recommendation. And again, they have a fixture in Game Week 31, too. So I think that makes sense. Any other cheap defenders? I mean, what do you think about Robertson on Liverpool? I mean, is he a player you're thinking about at all?
Maybe. I mean, speaking of more guys coming back from injury and joining first-team practice, Klein is back. Moreno we can talk about they're playing on different sides of the pitch, but Moreno is back for Liverpool. There will be a rotation, and Klopp just burns all managers always at this point in the season with his rotation. And that's why I'm leaning heavily toward Alonso to Virgil van Dijk this game week, because he does feel like the steadiest player in that back line. Apart from now, it looks like they're totally sold on Karius as their number one in goal. But I am feeling like I want to spend the extra cash just for that security, because that is something I don't want to have to worry about. So,
yeah, I think
I'm VVD over Robertson.
Yeah, I think that's just the safest pick. I think the Alonso to Virgil van Dijk makes the most sense. He doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires this season. You know, he just hasn't played a ton of matches in general. So even with Champions League fixtures, I think that he's just not a player who's going to need a ton of rest. Obviously, he's a center back, too, so he's just not quite as prone to rotation. The other center backs on Liverpool, just, you know, Matip, Lovren. I mean, you look at their starts over the last, you know, 20 weeks or so, it's all over the place. You know, they're just not consistent starter. I mean, Ragnar Klavan's the same way. So, I think that Van Dijk is probably the one safe option there. Robertson is the only fullback I would even consider punting on. I mean, he started, you know, the last five fixtures for them. He's played really well, too, which I think helps recommend him. They also paid a fair amount of money for him in the offseason. So I think, you know, the goal was always to make him a regular starter in that team. So it's not like he's this kind of squad player who's impressed, you know, like he was a player they were hoping would turn into this, kind of like Loris Karius, actually. So I think Robertson is pretty safe, but yeah, not as safe as Van Dijk is.
Okay, so Saturday, that's pretty much Saturday taken care of, save the fact that our biggest captaincy option, Mr. Mohamed Salah, is right here hosting West Ham midday.
Yep.
Bus team, I've got the armband on Mo. I think that's locked in for me at this point.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it brings us to Sunday, because it is really tempting to captain Kane in that Spurs game. In the Spurs Palace game.
Sure.
Don't you feel like he's going to destroy Palace in that game? Like, he's going to pick up a brace, right?
Palace they're a funny team in that way. Or they're very fragile. Like, on their day, they can sort of stand up to the elements and hold their own. But if something goes haywire, then it's a complete breakdown. So, yeah, I could see that happening.
You just look at their, if you look at the Palace team, it's like there's so many flags. You know, it's like Sakho is nursing a knock, Schlupp is out, Dan is out, Kelly has a knock. So it's just this like mash unit of defenders. And I mean, I know they had that heroic Man City match, during the holidays. But in general, I don't have a ton of faith that they're going to keep clean sheets in any match.
Yeah, well, given all the injuries and the biggest attacking threat, Will Zaha, being out, you would guess that that Roy goes very defensive in this game. And I mean, for whatever that's worth, goes very defensive with a second string lineup of Palace players. That probably doesn't mean that Kane isn't going to score five goals here, but that's a counter argument. Where I'm at, though, is more just in the ebb and flow of the season. I've been trying to hit the avant-garde Kane captaincy. I captained him last week when Aguero went off. I captained him the week before when He failed to outscore Mo Salah, and I just haven't been able to get the Kane captaincy right. So now I'm heading into the game week in which I'm ready to make the conservative pick, and you're looking to make the non-conservative pick. So,
well, I will be honest. My captain armband, my bus team also has Mo Salah with the captain band right now. I'm just being devil's advocate or whatever, but I do think that there is an equally good chance I bet if you look at the gambler's goal scoring odds for the game week, I'm sure that he's the one who's most likely to score. But I mean, part of it is that, you know, just with Salah, he's just linking up so well with Firmino right now that, you know, the absolute worst case scenario with him is that he gets two assists or something. Right. And he's on, you know, 9 points for the game week. So even his bad matches, he racks up a ton of points. And with Kane, we've certainly seen him disappear a lot over the season. So, I think that there is, like, if you're trying to make up ground, I think that because Kane is an almost equally, or maybe he is equally good captain option, I would probably go for him just for a slight, just to be a little different, you know, and you might have a little bit of an edge there. It could come back to haunt you if Salah goes off. But I'm assuming you already have Salah on your team anyway. So it's a, you know, it could be the kind of risk that you pick up 10 points, you know, if everything goes well for Kane and not so well for Salah.
Maybe the huge Maverick pick is Raheem Sterling, who he's getting a rest in the FA Cup match. And they are at the Emirates, way to Arsenal. But everyone loves talking about how crap Arsenal's defense is these days. And you could see City just tearing them apart in this game.
Yeah, it's just a weird one because they play twice again. Yeah, they play each other twice in 4 days. I guess we can skip ahead to that real quick. We'll touch on Man United and Chelsea in a second. But so City rest Otamendi and Sterling today. Aguero was not rested, and Jesus is back in the squad. So do you think that Aguero plays both matches? Do you think that he plays the League Cup final and then he plays in the away to Arsenal on Thursday?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Pep is fond of talking about how many minutes Aguero was playing in his press conferences, but we've seen it season in, season out. Aguero is fit, and when he's on form, he gets played. And it's never really an issue for him until he gets on his run of injuries. If they were going to favor Aguero, you'd think that he gets rested in the league because winning the League Cup is the first in a long list of trophies that City has set out to win this season. And I think they'll heavily favor that match, not to the point where I think they don't field a full strength team against Arsenal in the league.
Yeah, I agree. They probably.
But if Jesus, to the point being, I guess, if Jesus is healthy, then why that this seems like a perfect match to play him in against Arsenal in the Premier League.
I just don't know that anybody really knows how healthy he is yet. I mean, he's back and in training, but then, you know, he has these quotes where he says, "I've never had a knee injury like this before, and I feel I need to be really careful about how," you know, so it's not like he's an automatic starter. I mean, I could totally see him, you know, starting off as a sub in the next couple of matches just to kind of
get himself. Well, I mean, he didn't make the squad against Wigan here. Right. I mean, he is training with them, but so it's true. We don't fully know where he's at.
He has played he started in a lot of away matches for Man City this season. He was kind of, I think he started every single away match that they played, and Aguero was rested in some of those away matches. So it could be that the first time he starts is a way to Arsenal. I mean, you know, for me, I have Kane and I have Aguero, and you know, at some point I am going to make the move from Aguero to Firmino. I could do that right now. I could just, you know, it'd be a very aggressive move just to make that move right now. Part of the appeal of doing that is it's going to free up about two million and change. I think it's tricky. I'm not sure that I really feel the need to like get rid of Aguero right away. And I could say, even if Aguero came off the bench in game week 28 away to Arsenal, I still think he could score in that match. So it's hard for me to believe that he'd be fully 100% rested in an away fixture to Arsenal.
Looking at Arsenal, we have a question from Stephen Toomey, who says, would you consider bringing Aubameyang in ahead of the blank week 31? Gunners are playing Brighton and Watford after this City matchup. So,
yeah,
sounds like you're bypassing Aubameyang for Firmino because it just strategically plays nicely into 31. But I haven't been terribly impressed with. Well, it's a small sample size.
I was going to say the same thing.
I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows that he's awesome, but he scored one goal in two matches. I mean, he's really expensive. Arsenal kind of stink. You know, like it's hard to get like super excited about him. You know, and they play Man City in game week 28, so I don't want him for that one. So, you know, maybe a week from now, I'm more. I mean, you know, if Aubameyang just went off in game week 28. Then yeah, I mean, go for him, especially because, I mean, long-term, I think he's a great option. I mean, looking at game week 32 through 35, they play, 3 out of 4 matches at home, and that's against Stoke, Southampton, and West Ham. So, I could see really wanting an Arsenal attacker for those matches, but, yeah, I mean, you know, with a City match and then a blank in game week 31, I just don't realistically see myself bringing him in until game week 32.
I totally agree there. Do we want to talk about this Manchester United-Chelsea game real quick?
Sure,
I mean,
what
are the real talking points here?
Well, I guess there's some injuries right now on the Man United team. So I guess that's something that's up in the air right now. Like, it looks like Phil Jones might be injured again. Yeah. Have you heard this? Is this shocking to you?
I haven't. I mean, I'm not shocked at all that Phil Jones is injured. But Bailly's back. So that's like an FPL non-starter. Like, a guy who's always injured is injured, but a guy who hasn't really played all season is back. I feel like that's not a move you want to be making.
Yeah, right now. I guess Pogba looks like he's going to be okay. It looks like Rashford, Herrera, and Valencia are okay. But Marcus Rojo, Phil Jones, Fellaini, and Zlatan, they're all going to miss the Champions League game at midweek. So I don't know what that means for this upcoming weekend, but... I don't know.
I guess it means United have been kind of leaky as it is. So maybe it's a good fixture if you have Hazard.
Yeah.
So if you have Hazard, you're looking at two terrible away fixtures, Old Trafford and then the Etihad in game week 29, plus the blank in 31. I think what you're talking about there with the defenders means it's safe to hang on to Hazard for at least one more week.
Yep. Definitely Hazard. And possibly even Marcus Alonso. It doesn't feel urgent to me to get rid of Alonso. I mean, I don't want him for game week 29. I don't know. I mean, I guess like if fixing your weakest link is really what you want to be focusing on, I think that makes sense. I actually think if I were to make a defensive move though, I probably wouldn't bring in a Liverpool defender. I would look at bringing in a Tottenham defender, and just, I don't know. And then just focus on those three fixtures. I think that I'm okay with only having 8 players for game week 31. And so with 4 transfers to go, I don't mind burning one on picking up some points in the next 3 weeks. I mean, I don't think we should just totally dismiss the next 3 weeks just because, you know, I mean, especially because some of the players that people are talking about bringing in are just not players that you can really trust anyway. You know, I mean, you know, like, why? Like, I mean, you know, any of the defenders that
Shaqiri,
you're looking at.
Shaqiri? Non-trustworthy?
Yeah, I mean, even the Liverpool defenders, right? I mean, Watford could totally nick a goal in game week 31, right? Like, just, you know, one of their, like, collection of players you've never heard of before, you know, on a counterattack or something.
I am the Alonso move this week, I think, for some managers, including myself, is a team value play. Mm-hmm. I was able to stomach the 0.1 decrease recently when he dropped down to 7.2 because I bought him at 7.0. But for a guy who I'm looking to get rid of in sometime in the near term, if I can make a little bit of money on him, then I'm going to choose to do that. So that's my thinking.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's fair. So
I know you're not much of a banking enthusiast, Josh, but
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, playing the early wild card has been great for my team value. I mean, I was able to bring in a ton of players who have risen in value since then. I mean, even someone like Aguero, who wasn't in my squad before. So, I mean, it is useful. Like, I do understand the value of it, especially when you're, you know, when you're trying to make the, you know, like that 0.5 can make a big difference when you're trying to bring in someone like Shaqiri and you've got, you know, whoever, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and your fifth, you know, defender or midfield spot, you're trying to like make that upgrade. All right, Brendan, so before we move on from Game Week 28, any predictions on Man United-Chelsea? Who do you think wins this match?
I think Chelsea wins in a exciting, close 2-1 matchup.
Okay, all right. The road win for I think it is a dull, dreadful 0-0 matchup.
Yeah, yeah. It's anyone's guess.
Sure. And Alexis...
Prediction.
Alexis blows, like, three chances.
Yeah, I mean, we are waiting for that Alexis breakout game, but it seems like it's still a ways off yet.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we have like a zillion questions from our listeners about how to prepare for Game Week 31 now that we have all the blanks more or less locked in, save Spurs. So, Josh, what do you say we take a quick break, come back, and do a mega lightning round just focusing on Game Week 31?
Excellent, let's do it.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Josh, a quick word on our favorite daily fantasy app, Starting 11. Big news, if you go to starting11.io, starting11.io, there is a cheeky little announcement there that they're looking to have cash games in select markets launching via their app on February 24th. So stay tuned at starting11.io for more information, or give the app a follow on Twitter at starting11app. As they roll out this really cool cash game, which we're excited to talk more about.
I love cash and I love games, Brandon. So I am excited. I'm excited about both.
It's built just for you.
It is. It really is. It's designed for someone like me who likes a little gambling, a little bit of competitiveness. I need to get that poker fix, Brandon. That's really what this podcast and Starting 11 is about. Feeding my addiction.
Totally. So exciting things afoot. We're in touch with Starting 11 now to get more information. And as I said, Starting 11 will be feeding it out themselves. If you haven't already, you can download the app for your iPhone or your Android in preparation for this coming match flights. Anytime there are at least two Premier League fixtures happening in a day, you can play the Starting 11 game. There are no budgets, so you can have any players that you want from any teams playing that day. The cool thing is you can make adjustments to your lineups up to the kickoff. So you can even wait. It's so novel, Josh. You don't get locked in before the team sheets are announced. You can make necessary changes to your squad.
And you can make subs during the matches themselves, too, of course. You have three subs that you can make.
It's as if you are the manager. It's like your Pep Guardiola there on the sideline.
Exactly. It's like your own free hit chip each Saturday, right, Brandon?
Yes, it is. every day, even. Every match flight. So, yeah, we're still taking your challenges via direct message. You can play Josh or myself on the app. And we're looking for fun ways to help Starting 11 celebrate the launch of the new cash game. So stay tuned to Always Cheating for more details about how we're celebrating.
That's right. And as Brendan just said, we'll be playing, both of us will be playing this weekend. So feel free to email us or direct message us on Facebook or Twitter. Or even just go to our website and leave a message and challenge us, and we'll do the rest. We'll send you the challenge. We'll get it all set up for you. It's all you have to do is download the app. It's on iOS or Android, and we will take care of all the rest of the details.
Sweet.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're back. It's the Game Week 31 Mega Lightning Round. As always, these are questions that we're going to be answering in 30 seconds or less. And in this case, it's all focused on that Game Week 31, which perhaps you've heard about it because we talked about it in most of this week's podcast and probably most of the next couple as well. And eventually we'll actually have double Game Week announcements too, which will be even more exciting because then the planning really begins. So, Jeremiah.
Yeah, we get to talk about players who will actually score points.
Right, exactly. I mean, of the eight games, like the only one that I'm really excited about is Liverpool's fixtures, right? Maybe Callum Wilson will come through.
Right, of the eight teams.
Of the eight teams, excuse me, right? Four fixtures, eight teams.
Yeah.
Jeremiah sure. Johnson on Slack said, with not so exciting fixtures for Game Week 31, doesn't look necessary to try and field 11 players. How many do you feel is a good target to have playing for 31? And he says eight, maybe?
Yeah, eight is the number for me. Right now I'm sitting on four players for Game Week 31. Walcott, Salah, Firmino, and Hagazi. So that leaves me four free transfers between now and then, which gets me eight. maybe I burn minus four to field nine, but the odds are I'll be loaded up on Liverpool by the time we get to 31, and I'll be burning four on who? That's really the question. So I'm not going to burn four now, but maybe if someone is in scorching hot form heading into game week 31, then I burn four.
Yeah.
But like looking to burn four just to field a Watford defender that week,
that's exactly,
you know, maybe you say it's a minus two versus a minus four because you're not going to field anyone.
It's exactly right. Because as we talked about earlier on the podcast, for most of us, there are three players that we're just not going to transfer out, right? Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, and Mo Salah. Those three players are also three of the most expensive players in your squad, right? So it's not like you have this like remaining money that you can just spend on the absolute best players on each team. I mean, you know, granted, the only team that really has expensive players is Liverpool, but you know, you're not loading up on top high scoring players. You'll be loading up on just anybody you can get to fill out your squad. So yeah, you don't want to burn 4 points on a Huddersfield defender or you know, or even four on a Crystal Palace midfielder or something. You know, I mean, they're just not. The odds are you're not going to recoup that cost. You know, it's not like it's a double game week where just having a player is enough because you're going to get at least 4 points usually. You know, there's a good chance you're just going to lose points if you burn four. So, I think that eight seems like plenty. You know, and again, even if you're like worst case scenario in it, right? Which is like, okay, a lot of top managers are going to play their free hit chip in this game week. They're going to have, you know, a perfect 11. But if you get like pretty close to a perfect eight, you're just not going to lose that many points from the other 11 players that they're going to have. You know, maybe it costs you 6 points or something. And so it's just not worth it.
And we can argue about how it all plays out with then the wild card and with the doubles and then the blanks in 35. But regardless of how it works out, to still have your free hit coming out of 31, the amount of freedom that you then can exercise when playing your wild card or when you play your wild card.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we haven't fully wrapped our heads around it, but I do think that that's going to be valuable in and of itself.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, for me, you know, having played my wild card already, this free hit chip is basically a wild card that I want to be able to use, you know, and it may be really valuable for me to have that for a double game week, right? And just load up on all these double game week players in a way that I just won't be able to do because I can't play my wild card again, obviously.
Sure. Speaking of the free hit, we have a question from Siddhant Bhatia who asks, what should the blank game week strategy be for managers who don't have their free hit? So I think this takes us back to the discussion of there are four free transfer windows up till game week 31. Are we reserving every free transfer for a game week 31 player? Right. I mean, we touched upon this when talking about Mahrez, and I feel like we agreed there's some slight amount of wiggle room there.
Neil Parker has a good question. He says, which players have a fixture in game week 31 which would classify as buyers beware? For example, Nias and Choupo-Moting could both feasibly lose their place in the team by game week 31. So who is maybe you know, an option that people will be looking at who you're a little nervous about bringing in?
I mean, Shaqiri is in great form right now, and they have a home fixture against Everton. But he's a very streaky player. You can't really rely upon him. Stoke are not that great, and Allardyce is going to set up defensively away from home. I feel like he is shaping up to be a scapegoat for game week 31.
Yeah, and I think Niasse and Choupo-Moting are both. Is it Nias or Niasse? I'm not sure. Yeah,
I think Nias is my understanding.
Okay, so
what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, Nias is an interesting option. He's one I worried about too. I mean, now that you can bring in Callum Wilson, it just seems like or maybe even Josh King if you want to be a little bit different. Although King hasn't really been a starter the last few game weeks.
Is a bandwagon going to mount in favor of Christian Benteke heading into game week 31?
Maybe. I mean, he's a little expensive is the problem. It's kind of a weird, you'd have to bring him in as a second forward.
He's a free hit player.
Yeah, he is totally. Yeah. I would bring him in a free hit chip for sure. right? Yeah. I mean, away to Huddersfield, it's worth the risk. I think that Bournemouth defenders are options that a lot of people are going to bring in that I am pretty wary of. I just don't have any faith in Bournemouth, Bournemouth's defense. I mean, having Shirley Daniels for just this horrible run of no clean sheets. And I think his attacking threat is a little overstated too. I mean, I know he takes the occasional free kick, and it's like he scored that one goal he scored against City was so good that It's like we think that he's this kind of attack. I mean, he used to be on, it's like all of the stuff that he did is in the past. Like he's just not actively doing anything these days that make him viable as an attacking option. I mean, I guess a Begovic might be an okay option, I guess, but I wouldn't really. No one in the Bournemouth defense I expect to have in my squad in game week 31.
Another problem with Charlie Daniels is he's Premier League player who looks most like a librarian to me.
He does. Yeah, he's got like he's like in the special collections section or something, right?
Yeah. All right. So players to avoid. We'll move on to players perhaps to who you might not have considered that you should. Differentials.
Right.
Little Jason on Twitter asked, everyone is eyeing up Firmino, Virgil van Dijk, etc. for 31, but we can only make four frees between now and then. Who are the best differentials from Stoke, West Brom, Watford, Everton, Huddersfield, Palace, and Bournemouth?
Okay.
So are any of the players that we just slagged off going to become differentials?
Well, yeah, I mean, no. Well, possibly. I mean, I guess the slagging off is what makes them a differential, right? Because they're sort of...
Yeah.
People aren't excited about having
them. They're not popular.
I think you could look at it as a differential. I think another way to look at it is if you're going to bring them in early, who has decent fixtures in the lead up to game week 31?
Yeah, it's a good point.
So I think Everton's fixtures are pretty solid. I mean, it makes Theo Walcott, I think, more attractive. Watford, Burnley, Brighton, and Stoke are the game week 28 to 31 fixtures. I think an Everton defender is worth a shot. I guess I'm a little worried about this game week 28 fixture. But you know, I think Pickford is an interesting, like we were talking about, De Gea earlier. I mean, you know, Pickford is not a bad option for, if you're okay with getting rid of De Gea, then he might not be a terrible, terrible pick there. As far as differentials go, I mean, is there anyone on Liverpool that you considered it a differential? Like Emery Chan?
Sure. Emery Chan.
Yeah.
He's very, very, cost efficient. Emery Chan. And he's shown attacking prowess. I mean, he has his good games and his bad games, but that is definitely a player on a team that is likely to score a number of goals in 31 that you could consider.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Hagazi earlier. I think that he's a cheap player, easy to bring in. And their fixtures both before and after game week 31 are pretty solid. So even if game week 31 doesn't work out for you with him, you're okay because then they play Burnley and Swansea in the two fixtures to follow and both at home. So you'd think there'd be a reasonable chance of a clean sheet in at least one of those two matches.
Stanislas from Bournemouth. I mean, he's got a goal in him. Jordan, I like him as a differential.
Jordan Ibe. That's an easy move.
Jordan Ibe. Lots of course.
Yeah. Well, he's only
4.8
million.
We haven't talked much about him on this podcast, but he's definitely coming into form.
He's coming to form. He's coming to form. I think he's been a little disappointing the last, let's see here. So he's up to 4.9 now. So he had a nice little run. He only played 57 minutes in game week 27. But he had two assists. He actually had three assists and a goal in three of the last five games. He started almost every game starting in game week 18. So there's a decent chance that I is in my team in game week 31.
Yeah.
It's just so easy to bring him in.
I think I would say that Callum Wilson is like a 100% lock for your game week 31 team. I mean, generally.
Yep.
And I think the differential there is, can you hit on a Bournemouth midfielder on top of Callum Wilson?
Yeah. I am looking at, so my team right now, I've got my midfield. So I got Wilson already. I plan to move Aguero to Firmino. And then I want to take the money that I'll get from that move to upgrade Mkhitaryan to Mane and Ward-Prowse to Shaqiri. And then I'll probably move Alonso into either Van Dijk. Although if I do Van Dijk, obviously I can't have Mane. So I might do, I could do Theo Walcott instead. I don't know. It's kind of true. Over the next couple of days, I'm going to think this through. Walcott is like I'm a little worried about Walcott. I don't know. I'm a little wary of Walcott. It feels like, I don't know. He kind of came hot out of the gates, and now I'm wondering if it's, I don't know, if he's still going to like if that brace was like a little bit of like a false flag, you know, like
sounds like you're trying to talk yourself into or out of something right now, Josh.
I know. I'm trying to talk myself into Sadio Mane is what it is. But it's just so logical to bring in Walcott instead. You know, I mean, it frees up $2 million. It's just an easier move. So
Mane scoring a hat trick during the break here in there, was it the Champions League fixture?
Yeah.
It puts the cat amongst the pigeons. Is that the phrase?
Sure.
Because nobody really considered Mane. I mean, he's been talked as a differential within Liverpool, but he just hasn't done anything, and he's looked pretty bad in league play.
Yeah.
But that hat trick suddenly gives credence to the people, you know, getting excited about him.
Because he's kind of a form player, you know. So, I guess the only other – I wouldn't – Aaron Moy, maybe – for Huddersfield.
Sure.
You know, he's got the knee injury now, though. So we'll see if he's, apparently it was a deep knee cut. So he should be okay. I guess he's listed as out right now.
Just stuff some gauze in there, Moy. Yeah, get over exactly. yourself.
So let's hope that Moy is back and healthy. If so, he's not a bad option. He's only 5.3 million. So pretty easy to bring in.
All right, we've already talked about Liverpool plenty, but we had a few specific questions about them. Karen on Twitter says, Liverpool defender or Sadio Mane? So this is the choice that you're kind of grappling with right now, Josh.
Yep.
Considering everyone has Firmino and Salah now, who should be the third Liverpool player? And so we also threw Emery Chan into the mix there. So three attackers for you, Josh, or two attackers and one defender from Liverpool?
I think that if you are making the move in game week 28, I would bring in Van Dijk, because you're also going to get the West Ham and Newcastle home fixtures in game week 28 and 29. I think if you're doing it in the up to like right before game week 31, I might look at Sadio Mane instead.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All right. Peter Oleski on Twitter asked, do I get Firmino or Karius as my Liverpool triple up? Same question. But here what's different is how necessary is Firmino for 31? Is he like a must have?
I think so. I mean, he's the second best player in out of the eight, like of all the FPL options that you have on both squads, right? Of all eight teams, he's the second best FPL player there is. He's also super highly owned. So if anyone's going to do, I mean, like if you don't have him and he does anything in game week 31, it's going to be a massive ranking hit. So you almost have to have him just for like defensive purposes, if nothing else.
Yeah. All right. So larger game week 31 strategy, Jerry Gonzalez on Twitter wants to bring us back down to earth, Josh.
Okay.
He says, after preparing my team for a blank game week last year, the results were disastrous. Is it worth it to heavily, say, two to three transfers leading into the 31, change your team for this year's blank game week? So Jerry says, are we getting all worked up for nothing?
Right. Well, I just don't think that the players that I don't think you want to get rid of any of your top players. And so if all you're doing is bringing in, you know, a two or three defenders, fourth and fifth midfielder, maybe you bring in someone like Callum Wilson, who's not a bad player to have anyway. I just don't think that radically changes your team or cripples it, right? I mean, I wouldn't triple up on Stoke players, you know, but if you have Shaqiri, I mean, Shaqiri's a good player. You know, it's not going to hurt you to have Shaqiri for the next, even if it takes you a couple weeks to get rid of him.
Yeah. I mean, what we've seen week on week is there are just these heavy hitting players, like
right.
we say their names again and again, like Kane and Salah and Sterling, who just do the business for us. And we just work on the edges around
them. Totally.
And exactly what you're saying here, we are not just prepping for the blanks in this way, getting some peripheral players. It's not blowing up your squad by any stretch.
It hasn't been like this in other years. I mean, you know, this year it's a rarity where you have these three or four players who are just so consistent that you really just have to have them in your team. And it's hard to get rid of them because you build up so much value in them too, you know? So, you know, it's a different situation than we've had in the past. I think it's worth making transfers, and I don't think the transfers you'd make would qualify as blowing up your team.
Sandy on Twitter has perhaps my favorite question of this podcast. Mariappa, worthy of game week 31. I give you 2 seconds to answer this question, Josh.
No.
All right. So Sandeep also wants to know when the best time is to use Bench Boost. And I'll say this. I'm very excited to podcast about Triple Captain and Bench Boost heading into the doubles.
Yes.
I'm not prepared to answer this question.
I'm not either. Let's talk about this when the double game weeks come. I will say, just as a side note, I do hope that next year the FPL game changes things, that you've got to use one of your chips in the first half of the season or something like that. I mean, this kind of like zone that all of us are in right now, where we have all these chips, and for most serious managers, it's like we can't even touch them until game week 34 or game week 35. It just like, it's not great. You know, it's not like, it's not super creative or fun. And I think like, I think you should have to use one in the first half of the season or something like that, you know? And I don't know. It just, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't it feel like we're all kind of like making the same decisions? Yeah. It'd be better if like, oh, well, if I hadn't used my triple captain in game week 16 or whatever, I would love to have it right now. And just, you know, it feels like, but we're all of us are kind of sitting on these chips. Most of us, you know, many people are sitting on their wild card still. And so it's almost like, it feels like the first 30 weeks are like the prelude to like the real season, you know? So,
I mean, they did figure it out with the wild cards in that you had to play your first one. I mean, I understand the second half wild card exists because of a real life event, the winter transfer window.
Right.
But I wholeheartedly agree. I love the way that we have to spread those wild cards out.
Yeah.
Let's do the same thing with these other big point getting chips.
I would argue it was better when you had to play the second wild card in January. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it just kind of forced everyone to feel the new team. For anyone who hasn't played the game for a long time, it used to be that you got a second wild card, but you had to use it during the month of January. And then it sort of forced you to really think long term about your team. And, you know, and everyone didn't wait until game week 34 to use their wild card or whatever. And I feel like, you know, because everyone waits, and this is like, has nothing to do with any of these questions, but it's, you know, because everyone waits so long now.
You've got the floor, Josh.
Thank you, Brad. Because everyone waits so long now, going into game week 35, you look up and down at all these teams and everyone's got the same team. You know, it's like everyone's got like, yeah, you know, 10 of the same starting 11. Everyone's got the same captain. Everyone's got the same bench. Everyone's got the same goalkeeper rotation. Like, it's not awesome. You know, I don't know. It just like, it feels like it's a little, there are ways to like, there are like some like rules you could lay down that would give the game a little more creativity, I think.
Sure. This is a nice little coda to the lightning round. Just Gabriel on Twitter says, game week 34 roster construction with game week 32 wildcard in mind. What do we think? Well, Just Gabriel, that's a preview to what's coming up next season on the Always Cheating FPL podcast. Stay tuned.
That's right. Oh, and also, if you could define consciousness, that'd be great. What is?
Can you define consciousness, Josh?
I can't, but Descartes could, Brandon. And let's hold that over for the Patreon podcast.
And if you don't know who Descartes is, sadly, we can pronounce philosophers' names correctly, but we cannot pronounce football players' names correctly. Yeah,
Milivojevic will haunt us forever. All right, Brandon, thank you for talking to me, Brandon. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Hey, I love it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast. Once again, our Patreon Ask Us Anything podcast will be out in the next day, within the next 48 hours. And if you want to become a Patreon patron, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And we actually got 3 new reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And it helped me get over how bummed out I was that someone gave us a 1-star review. You can
thumbs up to all.
Yeah, Brandon, you're more circumspect about this stuff, but I get really sad when we get a 1-star review. So I'm like, God, come, why do that? You know, like just don't listen. Yeah. You know, why give it the bad review? Just stop listening.
I've accepted that the sun will explode at some point. So right. When it comes to iTunes reviews, I try not to get too bent out of shape.
Sure. You can also follow the podcast on SoundCloud, Twitter, and Facebook. Twitter is twitter.com/hailcheaters. Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. And you can go to the website, alwayscheating.com, for everything you need. Did I get it all, Brandon?
Yeah, you got it all, baby.
All right.
Game week 28. Let's get back into the FPL mix here. It's been too long.
That's right. This is a very serious podcast, Brandon. I feel like this was like only podcast that we record in the afternoon can we get this serious. You know, I think after work I'm like a little loopy, but right now I'm focused. I'm thinking about game week 28, trying to make the right move.
Well, and to finish off the podcast, I can tell you that Wigan Athletic in the 92nd minute are up 1-0 against Manchester City.
Wow. Wow. Man, it's too bad. It's too bad Brighton won. Jeez.
The quadruple is going to be out. This is pretty massive.
That is kind of crazy, actually. And Wigan did it to them in the FA Cup final.
I know. Yeah. History repeats itself.
Crazy.
Roberto Martinez is having a laugh right now somewhere.
Yeah. All right, Brandon. Well, good luck this weekend. And if you want to play us in starting 11, just reach out to us on any social media platform, and we will accept the challenge.
Also, if you've seen Lord Sorloth anywhere, let us know.
Oh, poor Sorloth. Oh, Sorloth for the game week 31. How do we miss that?
Oh, suddenly you want to throw him in as a differential.
I know. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Hail cheaters.
Hail Poku.